Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Southside Beat. Happy Friday, everybody. My name is Chris Halleck. Flying solo today because Corey Crisson is in Omaha, Nebraska because, well, Duquesne won. They won in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So I'm flying solo today. We're going to see what Duquesne does over the weekend. If they make it to the Sweet 16, then we're going to have some days next week. We're going to have to see what happens with this show because I will be in Orlando covering the NFL's annual meeting or the owners meetings, whatever you want to call it. I'm excited about that. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about today. But first off, thank you everybody for tuning in. Everybody who's here. And if for anybody who's watching after we went live, I appreciate you also tuning in and watching. We appreciate every watcher, subscriber, listener. Just thank you so much. We're 137 episodes into the show now, and we just can't say it enough. Thank you guys so much. So, next week is going to be a pretty big week for the Steelers, because, well, we're finally going to get some clarity. We're finally going to get some answers on just what the heck has happened, over the past few weeks, at least since Omar Khan last spoke, which was during the scouting combine. We had some a lot of answers, but not really too much to kind of deduce from what was said. But you know, since then, the quarterback position has been completely overhauled. Barber, appreciate it. I went and got the haircut today, got the beard trimmed up a bit. It was overdue. Long overdue. The quarterback position is completely overhauled. When Omar Khan last spoke, there was talk about full faith in Kenny Pickett, a strong desire to reunite with Mason Rudolph. Those guys are gone. Kenny's traded to Philadelphia. Mason Rudolph, now a Tennessee Titan, never got an offer from the Steelers. And the quarterback room now has Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in it. So lots of stuff has happened, and that's just one position. We're not talking about Patrick Queen. We're not talking about Deshaun Elliott. We're not talking about any of the other moves the Steelers have made. We're talking about, you know, there's quite a bit to cover here. And it's really, really interesting, James. Freaking funny. Chris got the Danger Russ haircut. You guys are awesome. You guys are the best. So because of all that stuff, you know, the first person who's going to talk. So the good thing about the owners meetings is, first off, the actual event is for the owners to meet and to vote on, along with the competition committee, to vote on proposals, whether it be the bylaws or rule changes or anything like that. And I'm going to cover that. There will be something up on the site tomorrow That's going to help set that stuff up for the owners meeting, so you know what to look out for in terms of not just Steelers related stuff, but even league related stuff. But you know, that's obviously the purpose there. The owners are all there. Everybody on the competition committee is there. Mike Tomlin's on the competition committee, so you know he will provide some clarity on certain stances when it comes. I know the hip drop tackle is a big topic of conversation. The Players Association has already come out and pretty much urged the NFL to not change the rules when it comes to that. So there's definitely a butting of heads between the league and the union when it comes to that particular topic. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out next week. I think that's going to be the big thing. Last year, I think the big thing that everybody was kind of looking for was the potential of reviewing roughing the passer calls. That, of course, was shut down. I think the big thing this year is that hip drop tackle. I think that's going to be what's talked, especially since the Players Association has already come out publicly and pretty much rebuked the league of any notion of trying to change that. So again, I'll cover that more in depth with something that goes on the site. But in terms of Steelers related stuff, listen, there's some stuff to talk about, because this is when Mike Tomlin breaks his silence. You know, the last time we had heard Mike Tomlin speak, other than off on the side, you know, during the press conferences, whenever somebody would say something, you heard a couple words out of him. But the last time Mike Tomlin addressed the media in any form or fashion was at his end of season press conference, which was all the way back in mid-January. So we haven't heard from Mike Tomlin in about a little more than 2 months. And a lot's happened since then. And so Sunday afternoon, local reporters, including myself, will sit down with Mike Tomlin and we'll get answers. You know, we'll get Mike Tomlin's perspective on a lot of things, on pretty much anything that's asked. The quarterback situation, the quarterback overhaul will definitely be asked at that table. I'm sure the hiring of Arthur Smith will be discussed along with a multitude of topics. But that's one thing to look out for. And then Monday, Mike Tomlin will speak again. There's two different coaches breakfasts. One is the AFC coaches. The other one's the NFC coaches. The AFC coaches breakfast is Monday morning. So then he'll address the media, I'd say at large, on Monday morning. So you'll hear from Mike Tomlin twice in less than 24 hours. Steeler release says they need to review holding calls, especially snaps against TJ Watt. The only thing that could possibly happen when it comes to holding, and honestly, TJ is not even the edge rusher that gets held the most without it being called. He's up there for sure. Based off of what I saw last year, Micah Parsons was the one. I don't think that dude got a holding call all year. And if he did, it was like one. But they will never review holding calls. Never. The 1 year of reviewing pass interference calls crashed and burned. It was an absolute disaster. And that's pass interference, something that's a little easier to, in my opinion, a little easier to judge. And it was an absolute just wow. It was a travesty. It was a nightmare. That will not happen again. And I think that's one of the reasons why roughing the passer wasn't reviewed. Reviewing roughing the passer didn't pass last year is because judgment calls are just they're not happening. Somebody asked, we haven't heard Justin Fields in an interview. And I think James Moody here is right. I think Fields is out of the country. I think he is right now. So, I'm sure we'll hear from Justin Fields eventually. I know we will. If it's not all the way until OTAs, then you know that's the time that we hear from him. I think that's the reason why you haven't heard from him. So, So Steelers related stuff. Mike Tomlin will speak. Sunday afternoon, and then again early Monday morning at the coaches' breakfast, and then Omar Khan will speak with local reporters on Monday evening. Prior to dinner time and stuff like that. So we'll get something out Monday evening, when Omar talks. That will obviously provide, a different perspective on stuff. because it's from the GM. But I think a lot of the big stuff that we're going to hear when it comes to overall stances, because, you know, Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan are on the same page when it comes to just about everything. A lot of the same questions that we'll get asked to Mike Tomlin, or a lot of answers that he'll give, Omar will give similar answers. A lot like what happened during the combine. It was a lot of the same stuff that had been echoed by Art Rooney II and Mike Tomlin earlier in the offseason. Not saying that Omar, anything that he says is, you know, not worth listening to, because it is, because shoot, he's the GM. We've seen what he's done over the past couple of off seasons, how aggressive he's been when it comes to upgrading this team. Granted, he has more cap space to do it because he's not paying a franchise quarterback, but still has an overall aggressive style in the way that he goes about the job. And so hearing his perspective is interesting, at least in my opinion. And then Tuesday, at the conclusion of the meetings on Tuesday, Art Rooney II will address local reporters briefly. It's not going to be one of those long meetings like he had earlier in the offseason. It's pretty much going to be to wrap up, you know, some of the things. We'll know by that point which rules or bylaws passed, which ones didn't, and get his perspective, you know, to try to give us a little peek inside the room on just how, you know, why certain things passed, why certain things didn't pass, how the Steelers feel about how he feels about certain things, and where the Steelers stand on certain topics. And so, you know, that'll be interesting to hear those things. And I'm sure Art Rooney II will also get asked about another year of just terrible grades from the Players Association. When it comes, pretty much other than Mike Tomlin, some pretty underwhelming or just flat out terrible grades. He was asked about that last year. I'm sure he'll be asked about it again this year. So that's pretty much what we're all looking forward to next week. Sunday through when I'm there. So I'm flying in Saturday night. I'll be there Sunday through Wednesday. I'm flying back home Wednesday. So, Stephen A. Says the kickoff proposals will be wild if it passes. Yeah, I don't feel like getting into the details on here. Again, I'll touch on that, but you know, it's interesting to see, you know, some of the you know, I would say borderline outlandish things that are being proposed, you know, because, you know, I think about the game, the way the game was whenever, like, I was a kid compared to the way it is now. And I think overall the fabric of the game hasn't changed too much, you know. Obviously it's not nearly as I would say nearly as dangerous, because obviously the league has gone way out of its way to take certain types of hits out of the game. You know, headshots obviously being one of them. You know, obviously the you know, revelation of CTE and other, you know, brain trauma has you know, been the catalyst for why those things have happened, why those changes have taken place. You know, the rules of the game, you know, it's always been, you know, okay, like the kickoff line moved from the 30-yard line to the 35-yard line. Ooh, you know, big shocker there. You know, not that big of a change. You know, we still need 2 feet in bounds to catch a pass. You know, the NFL has finally, because of the Dez Bryant and Jesse James catches that weren't called catches, the NFL has finally cleared up the rules to give the benefit of the doubt to somebody who's actually caught a football. We've seen certain things take place for the betterment of the game. Changing things like taking away the surprise onside, you know, that to me I go back immediately to, as soon as I hear the potential of no surprise onside, I immediately go back to Super Bowl 30, and I think about the Steelers being down and out, being down 20-7, they kick a field goal to make it 20-10. If they just do a regular old kickoff and give the ball back to the Cowboys, you know, who knows what happens? You know, maybe the defense does really well, the Steelers get the ball back, and then they go down and score a touchdown and make it a 3-point game anyway. But, you know, the Steelers did something to not only get themselves back into the game quicker, but to also completely swing the momentum into their favor. by using something like a surprise onside. They kick a field goal, make it 20-10. They go the surprise onside. They get the ball back. They go right back down the field and score a touchdown. All of a sudden, it's 20-17. You were down 13, you know, early in the fourth quarter, and now all of a sudden it's 20-17. It's a completely different ball game because the Steelers, you know, were able to do something and by never having to give the ball back to the Cowboys. And so, you know, and all the momentum, you know, they had all the momentum in the world going. And then of course, you know, we know what happens. I'm not going to bring it up again, but you know, the point is that, and obviously that's not even the only Super Bowl where there was a surprise onside. I remember the Saints and Colts surprise onside in that game. It's one of those plays that where it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's memorable. You remember it. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who weren't Steelers or Cowboys fans who remember Super Bowl 30 when that surprise onside happened, or people who weren't Colts and Saints fans who remember watching Super Bowl 44 and seeing that surprise onside happen in that game. And they're like, oh man, like I remember that play. Like that was awesome. You know, and I think about that, that part of it, you know, changing to me just as a football fan, I get a little upset. It's just, you know, kind of disappointed, you know, just because, yeah. And so you know, Mark says, you know, especially if it works, you know, and see, that's the thing is that, you know, even if it doesn't work, you know, that's where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of opinions to get thrown out there. Oh, why would they even try that? You know, but of course, if it works, they're like, oh, the coach looks like he's a genius. You know, like it's just, there are so many different, DK coming in with the comment, just let everybody know programming update. Hey, I just want to let everyone know that the next Ramon show will be Monday. Big man can't make it today. Sorry. So, no Ramon show today. But it'll be cool whenever they get back on. So I'm all you got today. Sorry. But Brad's right. Don't forget to hit the like button. Appreciate you guys. Steeler Lee says they're keeping the tush push. Yeah. The tush push, like the only issue I have with the tush push when it comes to the rules, or not when it comes to the rules, but when it just comes to the play in general, is the game overall, and it more represents, Lori says extra long show today. I'll go as long as I can, okay? I promise. I'll go as long as I can. The main thing I have an issue with the tush push when it comes to it is it's not the play in general. It's the overall favoritism of offense in the NFL over defense. And I understand offense means points and points mean ratings. And I get it. We all get it. And I continue to hammer this home because I'm more of an offensive minded person. I'm way more intrigued by offensive concepts in football than by defensive concepts. It's just how I'm wired. I'm kind of wired that way in just about every other sport. I focus more on offense than I do on defense. Except for baseball, for whatever reason, I'm more of a pitching guru than I am a hitting person. But either way, that to me is like, how does the defense possibly defend that when you have a quarterback who's already, you know, he's already trying to gain an inch by himself, which if the offensive line gets even if they go neutral and don't move, the quarterback has to gain, like, you know, if it's a half a foot, you're talking about 6 inches. How difficult is that? You know, then you're talking about guys being able to push the quarterback forward and get that where the quarterback doesn't even have to do anything. Like, to me, how does the defense possibly stop that? How does the defense have any kind of advantage there as opposed to the offense? And to me, that is just, it's just another symptom of offense getting way more favoritism from the rules of the game compared to the defense. And so, I would prefer the tush push to go away. I don't see it happening though, unfortunately.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a good question. Guys, bring your questions too. This doesn't have to be me just, you know, coming up with my own stuff for 30 or 40 minutes. You guys can give some questions and I can give some answers. Jason C says, do you see a true competition quarterback competition in camp? I wouldn't say true competition, but here's where I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Russell Wilson is going to be the starter. He's going to be the guy who's going to get all the first team snaps. He's going to be the guy, right? Here's where Justin Fields can make it really, really interesting. Go into camp and just ball out. Pull a Russell Wilson, right? What Russell Wilson did whenever he was a rookie coming out of Wisconsin and he got drafted by the Seahawks. And the Seahawks, they had a plan at quarterback, and Russell Wilson was not the plan. But Russell Wilson went into training camp, into the preseason, and balled out. Did not give Pete Carroll an opportunity or any other choice other than, I got to play this guy. I don't have a choice. At the end of the day, the Steelers have invested the veteran minimum into Russell Wilson. It's not like that they've invested a first-round pick and they're going to be stubborn and move off of that. It's not like they've invested this huge, gigantic contract that's going to eat up a ton of salary or a ton of salary cap space, in which they're like, they kind of feel compelled to be like, you know what? It doesn't really matter how good you play. Russell's going to be our guy because we've invested. No, they've invested the veteran minimum on this guy. And that's nothing against Russell Wilson. If he comes in and he finds some sort of fountain of youth and he looks a lot more like the guy in Seattle than he did in Denver, especially the first season in Denver, then the Steelers got themselves a really good veteran quarterback. And there's advantages to having a veteran quarterback. You're talking about a guy who can have freedom at the line of scrimmage to see defenses and make changes. And that's valuable. You don't have that as much whenever you have a younger quarterback. That's something the Steelers miss whenever you go from Ben Roethlisberger, who's seen it all, to Kenny Pickett, who is learning on the job. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's a huge difference between those two things. And we talk about audibling at the line of scrimmage. Like, those things have to be built into the offense for a younger quarterback. And, it's just, there's advantages to having a veteran quarterback, but what Justin Fields can do is force the Steelers' hand. He can go in and ball out, and with his ceiling, he can absolutely be better than Russell Wilson right now. With his ceiling, he's younger, he's got a stronger arm, he's definitely faster, he can do way more with his legs. The question with Justin Fields is how much can he do consistently within the structure of the offense, you know, not while not having to make plays outside the pocket with his legs they called a deep concept. Now I can show off my arm and throw a good deep ball. We know he can throw the deep ball. How does he do when he throws the intermediate passes over the middle of the field? How does he do when he's just operating within the structure of the offense? And if Justin Fields can start showing like, hey, he wasn't doing this in Chicago, but he's doing it here. That is the situation in which Justin Fields goes from here to here, can completely explode into the stratosphere because the ceiling is so high, because he's got a variety of superstar type tools. We're talking about Lamar Jackson type tools. You know, say what you will about Lamar Jackson. Understand the Steelers have, you know, success against him and everything like that. The dude still won 2 MVPs in this league. Are you going to turn your nose up if Justin Fields can turn into that type of a quarterback? Absolutely not. So long story short, I'm bringing this into this type of context because like Justin Fields can change this with the way he plays. He can change the plan. And I think the Steelers are going into this like, yes, Russ is our guy, 100%. But I don't think they're so committed to him that it doesn't matter what Justin Fields does, that Russell Wilson's the guy when it comes to week one. There's still a whole training camp to go through. There's still preseason to go through. There's still a long way to go. All right. Chris asks, do you think the Steelers will trade for a wide receiver? I would like to think so. It doesn't necessarily have to be trade. It could be sign. I mean, like if they're not going to go after the big fish, if they're not going to trade for one of the big guys, you know, like a Brandon Ayuk or Terry McLaurin or anything like that, you know, they can still sign a Tyler Boyd. You know, I think if they were to sign Tyler Boyd in free agency and then go into the draft and get, you know, like a Roman Wilson or, you know, even take one in the first round, like a Brian Thomas or something, that can be a pretty dynamic receiver room, right? You're not asking Tyler Boyd to be the guy who he was 5 years ago. You're not asking him to be this, you know, a dynamic, like you have to be able to give us X amount of catches, X amount of yards, X amount of touchdowns. Like, no, be a good complementary piece that can still be productive as a pass catcher, especially out of the slot. But hey, you can also help in the run block in the run game as well. And that's where I think Tyler Boyd can be helpful. I think if you go into the season where Tyler Boyd is your number two, I think that's where the Steelers kind of miss an opportunity to upgrade at the position, because the duo of George Pickens and Deontay Johnson is better than the duo of George Pickens and Tyler Boyd, in my opinion. In terms of, you know, run blocking, of course, Tyler Boyd's a better blocker, but Deontay Johnson he's got strengths to his game where any quarterback can work with it. Dude, you know, is great at getting separation. He's great at getting open. Lacks some consistency, but still is more of a dynamic player at this stage than Tyler Boyd is. And so, Brian asks, you know, Xavier Leggett or Roman Wilson in round three. I don't think Roman Wilson lasts till round three. If he does, if for whatever reason Roman Wilson's there in round three, you jump all over that. I don't think he's there in round three. I think he's gone. I think the consensus is that he's going to be gone by the end of day two, but I think he's going to be gone in the second round. I think he's more of a second round pick at this point. Especially if Michigan's pro day is today, Steelers have a full contingent there. Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, Arthur Smith, Terrell Austin, they're all there. It's not just because they're national champions, but you know, Michigan's a popular stop on the pro day circuit. The Steelers, you know, recently really, really love their SEC and Big Ten schools. Georgia, they had the same contingent at Georgia. And so not surprising to see, you know, those four in Ann Arbor today. So if that meeting with Roman, if they do meet with Roman Wilson there and that meeting goes really well, then yeah, they may be more than happy to jump all over that pick if he's there whenever they're on the clock in the second round. So let's see. Let's go through more of the comments and see what we got here. Alan Collins says, I think Russell will have to lose his job in the regular season. I could see that. I could see a situation where even if Justin Fields looks really good in training camp and preseason, that Russell Wilson's still the guy come week one. I still think that that's a very strong possibility. But I do think that no matter what it looks like, whether it's in training camp and preseason or whether it's at some point during the regular season, I do think that it's not the longest leash in the world. You know, like I said, the Steelers haven't invested anything in Russell Wilson, you know, in terms of actual, you know, capital or assets. They haven't given him a lot of money. They've given him the least amount they could possibly give him, right? They didn't give up any draft picks to get him. They didn't have to trade for him. You know, they've literally invested nothing other than the veteran minimum in Russell Wilson. So meanwhile, there's another guy who's way younger, who's got a massively high ceiling, that if he looks like a different quarterback than he was in Chicago, maybe all he needs is an Arthur Smith type offense to realize his potential, and boom, Steelers have themselves a franchise quarterback. It's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, what if that does happen? And I think that's the reason why I don't think the leash on Russell Wilson is going to be that long, where they're going to be so stubborn to be like, nope, this is our dude riding all the way through the season. But I, to your point, I do think that there's a very strong possibility that almost no matter what Fields does in training camp and preseason, that Russell Wilson's going to be the guy taking the snaps under, you know, on the field in week one. And Kiefer says Justin Fields will play. They aren't just going to let him sit on the sidelines. If I were a betting man, and I'm really not, you know, in today's day and age where, you know, there's a lot of betting going on, I'm really not much, like almost at all of a better. If I were a betting man, I would say Russell Wilson is the starter in week one and Justin Fields is the starter come week 18. I think Justin Fields is the starter at some point later on in the season. And whether that's because Russell Wilson just isn't the guy that the Steelers need him to be, if he's just completely over the hill, or again, if it's an injury that leads to it happening and Justin Fields comes in and balls out, whatever it is, if I were a betting man, I would say at this point where I'm sitting on March 22nd, still a long way to go. Still got the NFL annual meeting. Still got the NFL draft to happen. Rookie camp, OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason. We still got a long way to go. I've got to move, by the way, 1,200 miles during that time too. I got to move from Texas back up to Pittsburgh, you know? There's a lot that's got to happen between now and then. But if I were a betting man where I'm sitting right now, I would say Russell Wilson's the starter week one. Justin Fields is a starter in week 18. If I had to bet, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. Cat Manada, but that name never gets old to me. I'm sorry. It's just awesome. Cat Manada says, so why even say Russ is the starter? Shouldn't it be a true competition if both are starting capable quarterbacks? I think so, but I also think that, I think what Mike Tomlin would really want to happen here is that they would really love, at least for this season, we'll get more clarity on this. So I stand to be corrected here in about 48 hours time. Okay. It's Friday. Mike Tomlin's going to speak to us at 2 o'clock, on Sunday afternoon. And Eastern time right now, it's 3:30 on Friday. So in less than 48 hours, I could be very, very much corrected here. But I would think that Mike Tomlin, after a couple seasons of watching the quarterback play get significantly worse than where it was, even with Ben Roethlisberger in his final year, that having a veteran quarterback, like I said, it has some significant advantages. That and the ability to improv at the line and to call audibles at the line of scrimmage is a huge thing. Those are things where with a guy like Russell Wilson, who's been in the league for as long as he has been, that's not anything you have to worry. Oh, can we trust him to do that? Like, no, you can absolutely trust him. Dude's won a Super Bowl. He's been in 9 Pro Bowls. Like, even if he doesn't have certain, he's not the same guy that he was 5 years ago. He doesn't have to be. Like, it was the same thing with Ben Roethlisberger in his last year. No, he wasn't the same guy that he was in 2017, 2018, but he can still do certain things that make him a valuable quarterback. And being able to call audibles at the line of scrimmage, being able to read the defense, make changes before the snap to gain the advantage back, so that you're not kind of stuck in, oh crap, this is the concept that's called. They called the right defense against this. We're kind of screwed here. We're just going to kind of have to wing it and see what, like, no, like Russell Wilson can see, okay, this is what we, no, I'm checking out of this. Screw this. That ain't going to work. And Russell has the ability to do that because he's seen everything. No defense is going to throw something out there where he's been like, oh, I've never seen this. No, he's been in the league long enough where he can do that. And having that type of quarterback, under center, you know, back there, being able to survey the defense before the snap, that's something the Steelers have missed. Having a young quarterback, it's part of the growing process. It's part of the growing pains of having a young quarterback. I get it. And it's worth the risk, because if you find your franchise quarterback through the draft and let him develop that way, there's nothing better, because last time that happened for the Steelers, they had a quarterback for 18 years. You know, that's a good problem to have that you have to deal with early on. Kiefer said, I don't know if you're talking about, I'm catching a conversation there. I think you guys are talking about Zach Frazier. Randy asked a good pick. I don't know if he's asking me or if he's asking the chat here, but Jackson Powers Johnson in Oregon or Zach Frazier, West Virginia. I like the tape on Jackson, but could we afford to spend our first rounder on him? On Jackson Powers Johnson, if he's there at 20 and there's not, you know, a really great tackle or a really great corner there, I'm all over that. Jackson Powers, as long as the medicals are good with him, I think really right now that might be the only concern about him. If the medicals are good on him, to me, that's a slam dunk at 20. However, if the Steelers, I'll say this, if there's a way that the Steelers, because I don't think Zach Frazier is going to be there at 51 when the Steelers are picking in the second round. I think for people who are thinking Zach Frazier in the second round, I think if that's a possibility, I think the Steelers have to trade up to get him. I don't see him lasting that long. And yes, Zach Frazier would be a great fit in this offense. Listen, to understand a little bit more, you know, Arthur Smith's offense really, I mean, you know, typically what he's run before, you know, but what both in Atlanta and in Tennessee, it's a wide zone system. There's going to be a lot. I mean, not saying that they don't ever run, you know, gap or man like up the middle or anything like that, but it's a predominantly wide zone system. You have to have an athletic center in order to run that system. If you don't have one, you're going to struggle. Mason Cole wasn't getting the job done, even in an outside zone scheme that Matt Canada had. He'd be able to make some plays, but then other ones, there was nothing there that was going to help put you over the top. If you get a really athletic center who can really move and get out there quickly in space and block, Jackson Powers Johnson can do that. Zach Frazier can do that. I think either one of those guys would be a good pick. It just depends on where you're picking them. I don't think Zach Frazier's there when the Steelers are on the clock in the second round. I think they have to trade up to get him. That's where I'm sitting. That, at least, again, we're a month away from the NFL draft. We got a way to go. Let's see here. Yeah, Mike in Texas. This is more what I'm thinking. Have to trade up in the mid 30 to mid 40s. I would say, yeah, that's a pretty good range, Mike. That's actually a really good range. I think if the Steelers are going to trade up to get Frazier, I think that's the range that you're looking at. Let's see here. Sorry, I'm like, I got to take a breath here. Hold on a second. Let me get my Baja Blast. All right. Let's see. Jeff asked a good question. Would Frazier struggle in passing downs? Whenever I was watching the little bit of film that I've watched on him, I didn't see anything that was overly alarming when it came to pass protection. But the good thing is for any center, especially if it's a young center, whether it's Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier or Cedric Van Pran or any of those guys, that any of those centers, if they are drafted, they've got a good pair of guards right next to them. Especially Isaac Seumalo in pass protection. Seumalo was a very, very good. He was very good in pass protection last year, and James Daniels is pretty solid there too. The Steelers got a good duo at guard. That's not an issue right now when it comes to the offensive line, and that will definitely help protect whoever's there at center. Obviously, there's still a lot of responsibilities at center. So whoever it is, whether it's Powers Johnson or Frazier or Van Pran or whoever it is, if they do draft one of those guys, there's going to be a lot that goes onto their plate. But having, you know, two good guards on each side of them, that's a good thing to have right away. Let's see. Mike in Texas says Frazier was also a state champion wrestler for 4 years. He knows how to use a person's weight against him. Yes, that wrestling background has definitely helped him. That was one thing that when I read about and then I saw it on film, it's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And for those of you who don't know, I'm sure you don't know by now, but another Steeler, current Steeler, has a background in wrestling. Not quite as good as Frazier, but Keanu Benton has a wrestling background. And so I think that helps him because he's not necessarily he's not built like a prototypical nose tackle, but I think he can play that like a zero just because he, the same thing. He knows how to use a person's momentum and weight and everything like that to his advantage. So Chris Laban asked a good question here. Will Dan Moore be our right tackle or will we be drafting someone? And that's a really good question because I know from certain conversations that I've had with people off the record, so I can't talk about details of the conversations, but certain conversations that I've had with people is that the Steelers are higher on Dan Moore than just about anybody else is. That doesn't necessarily mean that Dan Moore is completely untouchable. But I do think that if there's an opportunity, the first public sentiment that I saw or that I've heard, and it was here very recently, that makes me think that maybe they're beginning to kind of cool down on Dan Moore a little bit, was when Omar Khan was asked about Broderick Jones and his future. And he pretty much said, we drafted him to be a left tackle. I'm like, okay, that might be the beginning of the end for Dan Moore. Right. Like, I don't know if that means this year, but that might be the beginning of the end. We'll see. But that was like the first. And now if they go into the draft and it's, you know, Amarius Mims or any other tackle in round one or round two, even, that might be okay. They're moving on. You know, they're already planning for life after Dan Moore, or maybe even supplanting Dan Moore now. We'll see what happens in the draft, obviously. I do think that Dan Moore would be better served on the right side, to be completely honest. I think, you know, he's better as a run blocker than he is in pass protection. Same can be said about Broderick Jones. He's a much better run blocker currently than he is in pass protection, but he's in a more natural position on his left side. Again, Omar Khan even said it. They drafted him to be a left tackle. I think they need to go into the season. This is just my own opinion. I do think they need to go into the season with Broderick Jones instead of left tackle. We'll see what happens. And Mike Tomlin is talking in 2 days. I'm sure we'll be getting his perspective on that too, to see, okay, we know what Omar Khan's saying about him because he just said it a few weeks ago. What is Mike Tomlin saying? You know, the guy who actually coaches the team. All right. Well, I think we're getting near the end of the time here. I got to jump off. Got some responsibilities, which, by the way, I was actually not even on the show yesterday because, well, obviously Corey was covering Duquesne's win, which, you know, awesome for them. And then I was having the carpets completely reinstalled or not just completely removed and like new carpets installed in the house, because we're getting the house ready to sell. It's going to be listing in less than a month. We got a lot of stuff to do here. And the house was just, we had people coming in, coming out. Like there was just no way it was going to happen. Was glad to get back on today, to definitely get some stuff talked about before the owners meetings begin next week. We will see what happens with the show next week. I think we'll be able to do a show Monday based off of the timing of everything, you know, whenever things, you know, are happening. Omar Khan doesn't, I think as of right now, he's scheduled to speak to reporters at 5 o'clock on Monday. So obviously show starts at 3. So I would think that we would be able to do a show that day, but I'll see once I'm there and I actually see, okay, this is the way things are laying out that day. If there's any other kind of press conferences when it comes to meetings or anything like that, then, you know, I need to be on that. So, Mr. CJ, your ass. Cheap carpet, I hope. Yeah, dude, I'm not installing high quality carpets in a house I'm about to sell. I'm pretty much replacing carpets because the carpets that were in the house were the carpets that were installed when the house was built 20 years ago. So they were old carpets. And dude, even cheap new carpet can make a room look like brand new. I mean, it's actually kind of amazing the way the bedrooms look now. So I'm actually really happy with that. Cat Manada says, you buying Kenny's old house? Dude, I don't know what you guys like. Yeah, I got a promotion, but I don't know what you guys think I'm getting paid, but I'm not getting paid enough to buy a former an NFL quarterback's house. Sorry. I don't make that much money. Oh, you guys are awesome. All righty. Well, we will Jeff goes, come on, go hardwood. Dude, there was it was concrete underneath when they took the the old carpet out. It was not hardwood under there. So yeah. Mike Jones says that was some fresh paint on the walls. Good money. Yeah. But that's not the only money that's being sunk in the house. We got to replace the roof on this thing too. Welcome to, being a homeowner in Texas, having a brand new roof less than, or what was it? 9 years ago. It was a brand new roof when we bought the house, and that was a little over, it was like 8.5 years ago. So the roof is like not even 9 years old and already needs to be replaced. And it's in bad shape. That's what 6 months of terrible, terrible heat and hailstorms will do. Welcome again, for those of you who live in Texas, especially North Texas, you know what I'm talking about. Thankfully, because of the amount of hail damage, the insurance is covering it. So, or at least you know all but the deductible. So, alrighty. Enough of house talk. It's already stressing me out enough. Joshua Dobbs says it perfectly here. Hold on. Adulting sucks. It can. It can really suck, man. Mike in Texas, here you go. Three new roofs in 18 years. There you go. yeah. A part of having a mortgage is you have to have homeowners insurance. So we've had, yeah, homeowners insurance. Good thing. So you have hail damage. There you go. All right, guys. Appreciate it. I got to run. Catch you guys on the flippity flip. Hope to see you guys Monday. But if not, whenever I see you guys next time, you have a great weekend. Follow our Steelers feed on DK Pittsburgh Sports. That's going to be filled with everything that you're going to be getting. I'll be pumping out from Orlando. Yeah, absolutely. You guys are awesome. I love you guys are cracking me up. Appreciate you guys. Catch you guys on the flippity flip. Have a good weekend. If you're in Dallas and going to the Penguins game tonight, I am too. See you guys. Bye.